Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Magic Sponge. I'm on time today. I was very late last week. Ian Smith, you're here?
Yeah, hello.
You good?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You seem positive.
Yeah, no, I've got a colourful shirt on and full of beans.
And
beans for breakfast.
No Jimmy Bullard.
What's
we
he
don't
done?
Know why. He's phoned.
Has he not given a reason?
Well, has he given a reason? No reason. He said he just texted the producer when I'm struggling for Thursday.
He got a late shout for a game of golf at the London Club, I heard.
Really?
And he's bombed us out for that.
Oh,
okay,
what?
So a scoop there from John Salarco, who's not been introduced yet. Go on, Salarks. Salarks, anyone call you Salarks?
Salad.
Salad.
I don't know, Johnny Salad. It just
Johnny Salad.
Johnny Salad.
John Salarco, Johnny Salad.
Sounds like a superhero.
Righty and Bright used to call me Flick. So I did love a trick and a flick when I was a kid. Yeah, so
that's better than
flick,
Johnny Salad. Right.
Yeah, but the fans, it's mad. But if you look at my signature, my autograph looks like Toe Salad. But I don't know if it's got anything to do with that. But
Johnny Salad.
That it just stuck.
But not Salad.
Gary Wilmot, I had to get rid of that early on. They used to call me Gary Wilmot early on.
Why did you get called Gary Wilmot?
Because I thought, do you not remember the old comedian Gary Wilmot?
Oh.
He's old school.
He did look a bit like...
It was funny back in itself. I'm showing my age.
Anyway, Salarks or Johnny Salad or Flick, let me call it. No Jimmy Bullard. Is that all right?
Gutted. Love Jimmy.
It'd be a bit of a calmer, nicer...
But
vibe.
Yeah, we've got a lovely
we've
team.
We've got...
Here. Do you know what?
The star of Series 1, the man that set us up and got the ball rolling, Mr. Sam Parkin.
Woo!
Hello, chaps.
You're back!
I know, I've already told you in reception, I feel a little bit like Jermaine Defoe, 3 years in the abyss.
He's got the call
got
up!
On the beach yesterday, I was down the south coast, got the fax through from the FA. You're back in, son.
Kevin Gallen is in therapy, but he didn't get a call.
Kevin Gallen, who's been on this show slaughtering everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's had a really peppered Kev back, but I played with Kev, so.
Anything to say about Kevin Gallen? Kevin Gallen normally steps in for Jimmy Bullard. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But we thought we'd give Sam Parkin a run out.
Are you next series of Love Island? Looking fit there.
You look great, Sam.
It's a problem watching Love Island, isn't it? I think the first few nights you watch it with your better half and... you kind of forget that everyone's 21, don't you? And, you know, I was half decent when I was in the Palais, Hammersmith Palais, back when I was 21. But now, not so much, do you know what I mean? It's a lot of jealousy rages the first few nights of Love Island.
It's just hard to watch it, though, because it's just... there's too many girls in bikinis. I cannot concentrate what's happening just because it's just girls in bikinis. What was it like playing for England?
It was incredible. It was just the best thing ever. I think when I was young, that was the dream.
That
was the pinnacle. And I think
New Zealand twice.
I always remember driving, just being in that squad, turning up with Shearer and Lineker and Pearce and.
Yeah.
But the worst thing was the first day I got involved with the cards, didn't I? I got involved with the three card
pack. Oh, really?
I was like 20 grand down in the first day.
And I suppose as well, the established ones are on silly money as well.
Yeah, no, they were betting stupid money.
Colton Palmer in the squad as well.
Colton! Hey, Colton! Do I not like that? You know, Graham, calm down. No, Colton was... Carlton was a character.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant character. I mean,
was he just fun? Was he a bit?
Yeah,
loopy?
He was completely outrageous. You know, he would do some crazy stuff. He was the kind of guy who would like, you know, we would go out drinking, and he would get a wad of 50s and bang it on people's heads and go, "Oi, you peasant, look at my wad."
Really? Not just the random people?
I swear, yeah. It's just
all peasant.
And this guy...
I can't imagine that if there was camera phones then.
Yeah, this guy had a go at him. He was like, "Who do you think you are?" I said, "Shut your mouth, right? Get your car, put it in the back of my Range Rover and I'll take you home."
That Thunderbird.
I thought Carlton Palmer looked really polite.
Yeah.
No, Carlton was outrageous. He had a few beers and he was a good lad. He was a good laugh.
Was he hard? Would he have a fight?
He was tough, Carlton. He had great big legs, little peanut head.
All the things you need to be a fighter.
Yeah.
He must have been hard if he's slapping 50s on people's heads.
It was outrageous.
You've got to have some confidence.
It was just the lads sort of having a drink and getting a little bit carried away, but he was funny.
Was that when Paul Robinson in Edinburgh, we went out for a drink with him, and he was just, when he was ordering that hot dog, he was just throwing that money at that.
And also, it started raining, someone walks by with an umbrella, he's just like, "How much for that umbrella? Give you 40 quid. Like, a 40 quid umbrella off someone.
Did he buy an umbrella for 40 quid?
I think so. Because there's two people who are like, "All right then," and then just like...
It was so bad. It was so bad. It's like David Batty. We were out and a couple of lads just start on you. And they were having a go. And he was like, "Do you know what? We're out having a drink. Do you mind? Just leave us alone." He's like, "We pay your wages, by the way." And he went, "What, fuck? You must be loaded." And the lad was like, don't take the piss. I can do anything you can do. And he was like, "Really?" She got out a £50 note, lit it, and went, "Can you do that?"
He lives in a caravan now, David Batty, didn't he?
What?
I heard he lives in a caravan.
No, shut up.
No, but got money. He's not spending it all, but just like in
just a nice caravan.
I heard someone talking about him the other day. He has just disappeared off the face of the earth. But he was supposedly like that. The lads would be coming off the... I don't know, you know better than me, John, but... The lads would be coming off the training ground and he'd just drive past in his motor, in his training kit.
But it wouldn't change with none of that.
He was a good lad, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a nice lad. Yeah,
not interested in football at all.
Quiet lad.
Yeah.
I suppose a few pints changes you a little bit.
Yeah, he's not setting fire to 50s. Before we crack on with that, John, we should say, Sam, what have you been up to in the last 3 years?
It's 3 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unreal. I've just been waiting for the call, to be completely frank. Just sitting there watching the grass grow in the garden. No, you set me off, I think.
You've got your own podcast, didn't you?
I've got my own podcast,
What's it called? Do you want to give it a shout?
I've forgotten what it's called. Forgotten what it's called.
Oh, dear.
How long have you been doing it?
It's been a while, about 2 years. Here we go. I'll get it up.
You sure not hosting? Sorry, I haven't a clue.
I'll get it up. It's called... it's been a while
since
we've
done one. Come on, mate. This is...
Are you looking through the charts?
It's been a while since we've done... Hanging Up the Boots podcast, sorry. Hanging Up the Boots. It has been about 6 months since we've done one.
I think it's changed. Life after football, Hanging Up Your Boots.
Yeah, it's with Danny Gabbardon and Reece Weston. So Reece was a former teammate of mine. Gab's obviously great career. So it's a bit more serious than this gig.
Yeah.
But
what are you trying to say? Not serious?
No.
We had a chat about Colton Palmer, didn't we?
Yeah, that was good. That was the most insightful stuff I've heard from three series. very, very nice. But that's just a little thing we've been doing in our spare time. And other than that, I've done a lot of me old stomping ground Swindon, so BBC in the West, a bit with BBC London, a bit with Chelsea, but it's been good.
All over the place, that media mogul.
Tough going. As
just trying to remember the name of it, isn't it?
I know, yeah. I know, that's embarrassing. The lads are destroying me there.
Right, let's talk about Crystal Palace.
Sorry.
John Sulaco, Crystal Palace. We brought Zilak Break into the first team. Was that your first club?
Yeah, joined Palace at 13. So I signed apprentice under Steve Coppell, 28, at 16.
And Brighty and Brighty were there.
So not then...
They came later.
So we had a couple of seasons where you had people like Jim Cannon, Mickey Droy, Trevor Aylott, old school, Steve Kettridge.
Oh, and I've read in Ian Wright's book, they were a bit funny with the new lads coming in.
Yeah, it was really, they were really old school, old bunch of lads. And Stevie Cockle came in and just revamped it. It was amazing. So he kind of cleared everyone out. And then he just brought in this young, new generation of play. And really, you know, Jeff Thomas, John Pemberton, Andy Gray came in. You know, we bought Nigel Martin from Bristol Rovers, first £1 million goalkeeper. You know, all people, and then Wrighty turned up. He came, you know.
Was he quite quiet when he first came? Because obviously it was his last chance.
Because Wrighty was like 21. He'd been trialing everywhere, and I was in the reserves at the time. And he came, and he was just, you know, this scruffy, you know, wiry, you know, young black guy who was just really straight off the street, fast. But he was just, you know, he was completely just didn't, you know, he couldn't play. You know, he was rough as. But he was just a ball of energy, ball of fire, was fast. And, you know, you could see he had something. And at the time, I could just remember Stevie Cobb was just like, look, you know, saw something in him, thought, right, give him a chance, £100 a week, cash in hand, we'll, you know, come and play for us for a bit.
Yeah.
And he just took it on. It gave him that platform. And you could see him just grow.
Yeah,
and he just training every day and just having a home, and then you know he got his chance, scored on his debut, and just never looked back. And you know I've never seen anyone in football embrace it and want it as much.
Yeah,
as
his improvement was huge. Like every year, like even when he was getting to like retiring age, he was still getting better.
Wow, but I've never seen anyone dedicate themselves so much, and just the desire, just watching it and taking that on board. And obviously, Brighty calmed him down when Brighty came from Stoke.
Yeah.
Brighty was just that foil for him that just, you know, could talk him through it, and they just bonded and, you know, grew from there. So.
Was it strange as well being sort of like a group of like black lads coming in to like, Dominic, we're more of an old school white team?
Yeah.
Was it hard at the start?
No, not really. I can remember, do you remember Ron Knowles, the chairman at the time? He, you know, Ron needed a spokesman, really.
He wasn't very PC.
Yeah, he put out a statement saying you needed a strong white boys to get the black guys through the winter type thing, but it wasn't kind of how he meant it. No, the guys, it was amazing really, because I don't know, we just got on with it. We didn't have a problem with cold weather really, or the black guys didn't. But I mean, Jeff and the boys,
Ian Wright was from Brockley, which is about 2 miles from Crystal Palace. Not much of a climate shift.
But there was a good I think it must have been five or six players were black South London lads, which was brilliant.
Yeah,
it was great at the time. You know, I think Tony Finnegan was playing at the time. There was me, Shawsey, Wrighty, Brighty.
Gary
Thompson was around.
Was he there?
Yeah, well, Wally.
Because we've had him on the. Have you met Wally before?
I know his lad's a good mate of mine.
Yeah, he's a son. Bit of a wild one though, Wally. Even.
Yeah, well, like my brother's big mates of his boy. And my brother's petrified of the old man.
Everyone is. I'm the one. You went for a pint with him, you're like, oh God.
Sal will know Wally better than me, the Wally Senior, but for all the stories, very bright, very quick.
Yeah.
The pair of them, his son's exactly the same. Very talented journalist, his boy.
Oh, yeah.
But little one-liners, you know, very, very bright. And I think sometimes in a dressing room, he'd dominate people, but not by being a bully, but by being very, very quick and very sharp and very intelligent.
Well, Wally was the crazy and crazy gang.
Yeah.
He was the one that started it. You know, he was incredible. And then he came to Palace. And I think he lived at the training ground for a little while. I think he was sleeping in the boot room for a little while. But he got himself together. But very talented coach. Really strong-minded. I mean, the biggest thing with breaking into that team at the time was it was a strong dressing room. It was real dog-eat-dog world. It was kind of like you came in there. And, you know, it was so fierce. And
did you ever fight with one of the senior pros?
No. Do you know what happened? I was at the first team game once. Well, I probably did it all the time, but I was like, these lot are rubbish. Fucking useless. I should be playing. Look at Steve Galloway. He's rubbish. Trevor Aylott. These lot of... So anyway, next, like, guy Monday morning, like, the door open, boot room opens, a couple of the senior pros walk in, door shuts. Right, you. I heard you were fucking slagging me off on Saturday, weren't you? You giving me stick? Got proper bashed up.
Did you?
Really?
Proper bashed up.
They filled you in the boot room?
Yeah, you don't bloody slag me off on a Saturday in front of the fans. And who do you think you are, you little... And proper, really? Proper. Oh, I didn't do it again.
No, I bet you didn't. Did you not want to seek retribution, or do you just...
No. You just took it. It was the days when you came in, you had your
sounds
guys.
Like Sandhurst.
You were boot boy, you had three pros. They would come in, you'd get them a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, you'd go and get their kit.
Yeah.
You'd sort them out, whatever they wanted. You were like proper dog's body.
So different to now, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're treated like, and that's they get like their Adidas sponsorship deal at 15. Talking about like the change in dressing room, because you were first team coach at Crystal Palace.
Yes.
That's what you were doing like last year?
The year before, yeah.
Year before, sorry, yeah, with Pardew.
Yes.
And Pardew, is your mate, Pardew?
Yeah, you know, Alan came from non-league.
Because he gets a lot of stick on his podcast, you know, around, you should be aware.
Yeah, around the time when Wrighty and all those guys came, you know, Alan sort of came, he was sort of at Yeovil, non-league, he was top boy. Because Palace used to pick up a lot of
guys
from non-league. What, Mr. Chocolate?
Jimmy calls him Chocolado.
No, I wouldn't, yeah, no, he did. He does try to eat himself. No, do you know what? Alan came and, you know, Alan was brilliant because he wasn't like a fantastic player, but he was fit and he just came in. He embraced his opportunity to earn, you know, a little bit of money to do what he always wanted to do. And he really has done incredibly well. Sort of coming from non-league, came into the team, wasn't a top player. You know, obviously scored that goal in the semi-final against Liverpool. That he'll always be sort of famous for. But he wasn't a top player. But what he was great in the dressing room. He was like Mr. Entertainment's officer. He used to always organise the nights out, you know, get all the boys together. And that was so important.
But he was popular in the squad.
He was really popular, yeah.
So
it was
you were first in coach in the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
When he did the dance.
But look,
so you're sitting there on the bench, your team's gone 1-0 up, so you're going to be the first team coach of potentially an FA Cup winning team. Underdog coming from behind, scoring the first goal, and then you go, yeah, you're celebrating. What do you think when you see the dart? Did you know he was going to do the dance?
No. We didn't mention.
You've never seen that dance
there's
before?
There's no way he's gone. Hey, guys, have a look at this. I'll do this if
I mean,
we score.
We stayed at the Grove for the semis and the final, and you always have dinner the night before. Mm-hmm. And he didn't mention it.
No.
He didn't mention it when it happened.
So talk me through you. You're there. You'll watch the goal go, and you're celebrating. Did you see it live?
I did not see. I did not see this. What is this?
You saw it.
Do you know what? It was so funny because we went in. It was 2 or 3 days later. We were back in the training ground and all the staff. So it was me, Keith Millen, Andy Woodman, and some of the sports science guys. And we were playing it on the video. And we were like, right, we need to put this on the big screen. So when we have the team meeting, we're going to play it. Yeah. And go, Gaffer, do you want to explain?
Yeah, when you're doing like going through the game.
Yeah, what the fuck was this all about?
You took me through it.
You cost us the cup final, Gaffer.
Do you think you did?
So we've got this.
I saw him dance, because I'm a Man United fan. I saw the goal and then I saw the dance. I was like, we're going to win this.
Did you think it cost you the cup final?
It's jinxing it.
Do you know what? What I honestly think, do you know what? I mean, obviously, Alan signed me. I was in the Premier League with Charlton. But I wasn't playing, I wanted to play, and Alan was with Reading.
Yeah.
And him and Martin Allen came to take me on loan. So I went to Reading on loan. So I played under Pards at Reading. And when he signed me, he sort of said I wanted a few experienced players to come in to match with the young lads like James Harper. There was Sidwell and people like that, and Stevie Hunt. And so I can remember we were training, we had a double session one day and it was funny, it was getting dark and that. And I was like, said to one of the lads, anyone got 50p for the meter? And he over... and he pulled me and said, Sal, come on, don't undermine me here. I need to get these lads...
on board, yeah.
And it was funny, so I got to know him there. But how he's grown as a manager, and he's had to do that, I am a tiger bit, I am good enough to be here. And you need to do that, you need to be on that track. And I think with that incident... without a doubt, he would have said, right, if we score and it's late on, I'm going to do this little jig. I think.
But why do you think he does that? Just because he likes the attention or he likes to express, he's just an extrovert?
I think in his own mind, and this is the thing, his attention to detail, he's a brilliant manager, by the way.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. He knows the game and he's really good. And that's part of his attention to detail. But part of that, I am Alan Pardew, it is all about me.
Captain Chocolado, yeah.
It's kind of like, I am the boss, I am the leader of this team, it is about me, and when we score late on, it was that script, because that's what we were thinking.
Because then it's all, won't be on the goal scorer, it's all on him because he's done the dance.
Our game plan was completely hoping that Man United would have an off day. They had everything going on. Van Gaal was, you know, it was his last game, isn't it? The team was disjointed. Rooney was playing midfield. We thought, you know, if we can stop Fellaini, Martial has a bit of an off game. He's not on it. Rashford, you know, is good. But if we stop those players playing, we make it a horrible, tight, ugly game, and we can win this 1-0. And when we scored sort of 70, 72 minutes, 1-0, we're like, whoa, this is it. Yeah. And Pards must have been thinking, time for the jig.
But then do you think it cost you the final?
Yeah, should we concentrate? Because what we should have done was, he should have been saying to someone, right, go down. Go and hold your leg for 5 minutes.
Down,
yeah, just kill the game. Like Mile Jedinat or the keeper, you know, just go down like the Italians do. Or the,
if they've seen that,
yeah, the experienced players.
Fuck off, mate. Rooney's standing there going, fucking dancing. And then your mate should get your back up, doesn't it?
No, you did. You were like that. What just happened? What was that? What did you just do? What did you do?
Was there a Tuesday club at Crystal Palace? Is that correct?
There was, yes. I mean, back in the day...
Was you a big drinker or was you quite sensible?
Andy Thorne. No, do you know what? You go out and have a few beers. You know, it wasn't like... They were proper. You know, if you talk about Mark Dennis, Gary Thompson, Andy Thorne, that old school of, you know, Jeff Pards, that, you know, but there was an old... It was, you know, you'd go straight after training on a Tuesday, 2 o'clock, you'd be in there, you know... And you'd be trying to back your car out of the car park at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's a joke, by the way. Don't drink and drive, it's not big or clever.
So Pards was a big part of the Tuesday Club, but he got out a lot.
See,
Was Colin Moore all right about it?
Stan's a weird one, actually. Stan came about when he was 17, and arguably, the first week, right, this young lad turns up from Stafford, best player I'd ever seen. Best left foot, right foot.
It was like Ronaldo when he was...
Ronaldo, he had skills, he could head the ball, he was fast, he was strong. I was like, wow, what have we got here? And then the problem was, he was such a fierce dressing room, and then Wally got into him.
All right.
He came a little bit cocky, and they, you know, just that, you know, they tried,
to knock him down a peg or two.
Yeah, but, because there was once in training, I think we were doing a circle or something, Wally was in there, and, you know, something happened, and he was just caning Stan. And we're like, Stan, you've got to knock him out. And Wally's like, if you hit me, you better knock me out, because otherwise I'm gonna rip you to pieces. And Stan just shit himself and didn't hit him. And it was sort of that. He didn't hit him. He should have. It's like the bully.
He should have
really should have torn into him, and then they'd have had a scrap.
He's a big bloke. He would have beaten
Stan. Could have taken him.
Yeah, Wally's not. Yeah, I mean, Wally's... he's probably quite hard, but he's not. I don't know. Was he a fuck, Wally?
No, I wouldn't want
to. I mean, Wally's proper mad dog. You wouldn't.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Like Joe Pesci.
Yeah, he's like, Wally.
He'll come back.
Yeah, Wally could and look after himself. So, and then after that, he had to go. It was just.
A bit too much.
Yeah, no more credibility.
Oh, because he lost.
Yeah, but yeah, he was.
Did you have a match experience with Stan Colin Moore?
I played against him in a tournament a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And.
Is he still playing? He's still.
Well, he was playing for a Liverpool side. And. Because of my first few years, Frank Sinclair got me on the Chelsea team. He's in the Caribbean. It was a nice little... I don't know why. Frank called me up and dressed up. Do you want to come away for a week? Caribbean, first class. Frank, why are you even ringing me? Put my name down somewhere. Tell me what time I've got to be at the South Terminal. And the Chelsea lads were just all young boys. Frank was the gaffer, so he just picked a few lads that had legs and could still drink. And the Liverpool team was stellar. I mean, you're Patrick Berger... Tony Warner was there in goal. Stan, Colin Moore. Who else was there?
All in the Caribbean.
Vladimir Smitsa. I mean, they had a serious team in Liverpool. They battered Chelsea. And Stan got about 10, 15 goals in the tournament. I mean, Rolls Royce is a player still, either foot. And I had one of those where it came out of the sky and I thought I could probably just usher him out here. And I just bounced. I'm a big lad myself. He just absolutely threw me on the deck and ping one in the top corner. But it was obviously just a social. Brilliant for me.
Yeah.
You know, I was around these proper stars, you know, and I was a journeyman player myself. I'm around these proper players. And
stop it. We're going to burst into tears.
Do you feel a little bit, when you get invited to speak, just turn up and do you sort of go, oh, God. Like,
no,
are you excited by it or do you think, oh, fuck.
Yeah, you feel, I felt like a little bit of a chance on the way, but I know I can hold myself on the night out and everyone will.
So you can win them back on the night out.
Win them round after it bouncing off my shin in the football. Yeah. Bouncing out of play.
He can't trap it. He's good,
lad. These lads down,
And Coleman, he was another... Like, you know, player you played with. He's done well as manager as well.
Yeah, he's done tremendously well. Obviously, you know, he had the incident, obviously, driving that, you know, when he shouldn't have been and nearly killed himself. But he was lucky because when that, it's because a neighbour, he's like, you know, he's in his car and really the fire brigade were going to chop his leg off to get him out of the car.
Oh, really?
And it was only because one of his neighbours recognised his car, stopped and said, like, he's a Premier League footballer. So they spent a bit more time and didn't. But he was done. His leg was done.
I might just say, I'm going to have that on my badge. I'll just wear a badge of that in case I'm in an accident. Yeah. Just have, come on, look, we've got dinner in 10. Just get him out and chop it off.
Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, otherwise.
Give me a bit more time, will
it
you?
It shows you, doesn't it? Otherwise, they would have taken it off and.
Fucking hell.
But luckily.
I didn't know that. I'm going to wear a little badge. I'm Premier League footballer. Yeah. If you cut me out of this car, let's take a bit of time about it. Ian, have you got a quotes quiz? John and Sam.
So we've got a little. This is
as your media guys, as well as coaching. You both do a bit of the punditry. So this is your quiz.
It's a bit like the thing they do on Have I Got News for You, finishing off the old quote. Well, I don't think so. Technically, anyone can do that.
I don't pull Merton on my case.
or his stop. Basically, one of these is from you. The first one. I'm gonna say a quote, and then I'll say ... And you've got to guess what comes after it.
How do you make everything sound so complicated?
I fucking finish the quote. Right, you've got to finish the quote.
He's going to tell you who said it, say the start of the quote, and then you've got to guess
famous football, stuff, famous football quotations, are they?
Have you got it?
It's a bit like...
Turn yours over, Robin, you can get involved
But I haven't got the end bit, I've only got the beginning.
No, they're all on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I not like that?
Okay.
Graham Taylor.
You can't do your own questions. This has taken so long to set up. Here we go. The fun's about to start. John Salako. No one has more legs than Park, and no one has more what?
Heart. Sir Alex Ferguson.
No.
No one has
heart than Roy Keane.
No one has more legs than Park, and no one has more what?
Bollocks.
I can't help you.
You said this.
Hands than.
Oh, John said this. Sorry,
you actually said this, John.
No. Oh, I said.
Yeah.
No one has more legs than Park, and no one has more.
I'd say lungs than Rooney.
Right.
Ah.
No one's got more lungs than Rooney.
With that, is it?
Yeah.
How many lungs has Rooney got, John?
Oh.
I'd go to hunch two, on a guess. And you're right. No one has got more lungs than him.
Yeah.
You might have legs.
He's got the heart the size of a dustbin lid as well. Did I say that?
It's not on there.
It should have been on there.
You could have done. Ron Atkinson, I'm going to make a prediction.
Oh, this is going to be the end of my career. This next line.
Prediction. Something about, I don't know. It'll be a win.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Be a win, draw, or defeat, or something like that.
You're not far from that.
Oh, go and park it. Look at him breaking it down.
Yeah.
Is it about Desai?
No.
We're swerving.
We thought we'd avoid that one.
I'll tell you what, when I played under Ron, he always used to do this one where he'd say, oh, this is John Salako, one of our wingers. He's magical. He says, every time he crosses that line at 3 o'clock, he disappears. It's not funny, Gaffer.
I was waiting for something racist. I was like, just generic banter.
What's going on here? Like,
yeah, after the fifth time he told that one,
a bit of a weird feature of a manager to say to his player, isn't it?
No, he used to just say it as a joke to people.
Fucking hell.
And with a Big Ron thing, so you got on really well with Big Ron and that, and his comments, you know, the sort of the racist comments, what's your thoughts on that?
It wasn't Big Ron. It was an old school comment, that old school, that era, that age. You know, those kind of guys. There were certain things.
Deep down, he's not a racist.
Yeah, there were certain things that were still said, a bit like Ron Nodes, or you know, there were things that people said, and there was no way he shouldn't have said that.
Of course,
but it was something that could easily be said. He said it in confidence. He said it off air. Yeah. But you know, it's one of those things where you'd say to him, Ron, you can't say that. He's like. Ron was no way racist. I mean, we had, you know, Peter and Love there. He signed Neil Lamptey, the Ghanaian player. Who else?
I think it's a shame because sometimes if someone's not racist but it is a racist comic, it can tarnish them forever. And it's they shouldn't say it.
Unfortunately,
you just can't say that sort of thing on national telly. And even because it's fine if you know him, but then if you would have gone like, anyone there would have gone, you can't say that, Ron. But like, if it's been put on air, it's one of those things the channel have to. Say this is not acceptable.
No,
you know, and broadcast that kind of thing. But it's just a shame. But you know, just don't say it, Ron.
Ron.
Just don't say that word, Ron.
Ron.
First rule of broadcast: don't say that word.
What was his quote, though?
Yeah.
Is it racist?
I'm going to make a prediction, Ron Atkinson. Yeah. What did he say?
I'm going to make a prediction. It could go either way.
There we go. There we go.
I think that's a point for you.
Yeah, I was off
So that's one for Sam. I'm going to score this.
Okay, this one I quite like. David Beckham said, I definitely want Brooklyn to be christened, but...
Oh, I've got to know this. I don't know what religion.
Yeah. I'd like to know who his father is.
Oh.
That's two for Sam.
Yeah.
But I don't know what religion, did he say?
Yeah. Mark Draper, I'd like to play for an Italian club.
Oh, is it like Barcelona or something?
Yeah.
Is it actually that?
Yeah,
I
think
you give us
a word for word.
Real Madrid or Barcelona.
A point for Ron Beckett.
I've got one. Wicked. Was it actually Barcelona?
Yeah, yeah.
You've not seen Have I Got News For You? We're supposed to say funny things before we get it. rotate round, think of a witty little comeback.
Sorry. I just wanted to build it up.
Clinton Morrison. I'd been ill and hadn't trained for a week, and I'd been out of the team for 3 weeks, so I wasn't sharp. I got cramped before half-time as well, but...
I'm not pregnant.
I still... Stuck a couple
of
the onion bag.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
but I'm not one to make excuses. I'll tell you this one. John Lambie. Do you know John Lambie, manager?
I know the name.
So this is after finding out a concussed player, couldn't remember who he was. He said, that's great. Tell him...
Your Maradona.
Or Pele or something.
Yeah, yeah. Tell him he's Pele and get him back on. different generation. Yeah, you just put him back on.
Wicked. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. Any suggestions for features, send them in. We'll probably ignore them. And thanks to Johnny Salad, John Salarco.
Didn't even speak about Gaza.
Oh, what have you got? Have you got any stories on Gaza?
No, yeah. When I was in the England squad, we were in, like... We got in the jacuzzi, so there's, like, Incy, Wrighty.
All right.
There was Paul Merson. Who was there? And anyway, they all got out one by one. Gas got out. And I'm like busy youngster stretching. And I'm thinking, you know what? So I go in the dressing room and the change room and it stinks, right? So I just pick up my T-shirt and shorts off the peg, go up to the dressing room, dressing gown on, put the stuff down. And I'm like, I'm there all night going. So I've got to sleep with the window open because it just doesn't smell right. So I get up in the morning, go down to breakfast and Merson and Cartland and all those guys are there going, is it true? Gaza shat in your shorts. I'm like, no. So I'm like, ding. Going back to the room, there's literally flies in the room. He'd rolled the shorts up.
Oh, no.
He crapped in them and put them back on.
Oh, no. Did you get them back?
No, I'm not like that.
No. Some players love shitting and stuff.
Yeah.
Why do players do that?
What?
I mean, so players many. Like, players so like you know, but you had people that
they love
did.
Having a shit.
They'd go and leave like one at every in club. Your bed. Like,
one at every club.
They'd go and they'd either leave one in your bed, or they'd do the toothbrush one where they'd give it a little.
Or the freshly laundered kit. You know, just coming in for the new day, looking forward to the session. Yeah. Someone's done a poo on your kit.
And there's one at every club. And you're a journalist, you've been around.
There's one at 13 different clubs nationwide. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate it and subscribe and share it with your mates. So the more listeners we get, the more likely we'll do them. Because Dave won't pay us to do it if you don't listen.
Are we not getting paid?
Well, yeah, we'll get paid, but we won't do another series. You'll get your £3. But thanks for listening. Bye. The Magic Sponge is a .. production for Dave, hosted by Rob Beckett, Jimmy Billard and Ian Smith.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugs your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
I know what this one is.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.